Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Buchina Kirkinall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight for another episode of awesome episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And you know I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. You are worthy to be praised. I humble myself to you right now, and I decree Buchina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in right now. I ask you to clear my mind, clear my heart, and forgive me of anything, thought, word, and deed. I thank you for the guest that's coming on tonight, a phenomenal, a powerful woman, not only in you, but in her community and her ministry and what she does. And I thank you for allowing our paths to cross that we may edify you, Lord. I thank you for those who are tuning in, whether they're doing it live or whether they're doing it on the replay. And as we move forward today, Lord, I ask you to go before us and remove any obstacles, any hindrance that may hinder the path right now, because you said the weapons will form, but they will not prosper. And as we move forward, Lord, I speak power, I speak peace, and I speak abundance. I thank you for grace and mercy and unconditional love. And as I bring this to a close today, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thank you for those who are tuning in tonight. It is going to be an awesome night. You know, I think about my guest tonight, I think about how we met. And we met through a mutual friend. And she does a phenomenal job when it comes to climate change. And I thought, how does that affect me, I wonder. And then when I start thinking about it, I start thinking about all the things that we're going through in life, all the seasons. We can't tell the seasons. You know, it's hot here one day, gone the next, hot one day, cold the next. And then I think about all the shifts that goes on, and then look at the economy, you know, how it's affecting us, you know, economically, mentally, emotionally, financially. But then I started to think even deeper and think how it is affecting us spiritually. How is it affecting us spiritually? And if you was to look at it, with all this going on, if you're into your word, you'll probably see the signs, you will see the signs of the time. How does that affect us? You know, we're all worrying about the end day, but what about life? About life now, because we don't know the time or the day that he's coming. So what are you doing to prepare for it? So today, tonight, as we go into our discussion, the question that came up is, you know, what are we doing about the here and now? Yeah, we know that the end of days are coming, but what are we doing about it now? And so without any further delay, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others no other than Miss Yvonne Gamble. Thank you, Miss Yvonne, for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it because you could have spent your time doing many things and didn't have to be here. So thank you so much for coming on. And how are you this evening?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much, Buchina, for having me on the show. This is really nice, and I love your topic, and that prayer was just wonderful. I just have to say amen before I get started.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned, you know, how we met through a mutual friend, and you know, we talked about climate change. It was my first time even tackling that subject myself, but it made me think and go even deeper about climate change and how I started doing like research or like YouTube and going to research and not realizing how climate change has affected us in so many different ways. so many different ways. So if you don't mind, the first thing I want to, there's the first three questions I want to ask you first is, who are you? What do you do? And why do you love doing what you do? And we're going to go from there.
Okay. I'm going to keep it short. Yvonne Gamble. And that's who I am. And I've been, the business that I am in is venture capital. I've been in this business since 1976, and I love it. I love it. I prayed my way into this. I asked the Lord. I said I wanted to do something that touches people from the time they're born to the time they die. And I woke up the next morning and looked in the yellow pages, and there it was, this nice big eagle. And it was on an ad for American National Bank in Chicago. And it said, we're the bank for business. And that's what I called. And I have worked in this industry ever since. And I will tell you that I love this industry. It has so many different facets in the world of finance. I've been a land trust representative. I've been the department head for FHA and VA. Starting that up, I am a modular home builder, so I've been in the real estate end from end to end. And it's hard not to love this industry. It's because it's so exciting and it constantly changes. And I meet so many different people in my line of work that I do. I was on a phone with a gentleman today. He's looking for funding to do carbon neutral, to do rare earth minerals, pulling those out of the earth and to pull out hydrocarbons from liquid natural gas. So I get into those types of things, all the way to someone who just wants to build a brand new community because their city has annexed 200 or 300 acres and now they want to build a new city. So it's varied and there's never a dull moment in my line of work, and that's why I love it, and that's why I do it.
I can hear it. I can hear it. You always know when someone's passionate about something they do because you can hear it in their voice, and that's all I hear. I hear nothing but passion. My next question is, how did you get involved as far as climate change is concerned?
Well, with climate change, I do a lot of work with the United Nations, with UN Women. I'm a part of that organization, and obviously, we have the 17 goals there, and climate change is goal number 13. It's one of the major issues, and we've been obviously, not just us, but we've been talking about it around the world, for years, how we could abate, what could we do, what were we doing, and that's pretty much how I got it, how I am in climate change. And climate change is in everything that we do. Every industry, just as you said when you came on, how you began to do research and you were wondering, how did this affect you? When we did the UN, the United Nations, and I really appreciated you for being on there. I appreciated all the women.
Thank you for having
and it
me.
Was a, you're welcome. It was really something else as I was asking business women to come on in just different types of businesses and say, now I want you to talk about climate change. People were saying, huh, what about nothing, climate change?
Yep.
What does that have to do with me? Everybody
yep.
said that. Not one person came to that table and said, oh, yeah, no problem. I got this. I know what I'm going to talk about. Everybody went through that. How does that affect me? It doesn't affect me. And I'm like, okay, well, the last time it rained in some place where it's normally sunshine or it was snowing, on a day that you thought it was going to be 90 degrees, I think the climate change does somehow affect you. And people are like, oh, yeah. I had one lady, real good example, and I won't be long, and she was an accountant, and she has an accounting firm. And she was like, well, I do accounting work. I'm not a scientist. I don't do science or anything like that. I don't know anything about that. And I said, well, the accountants probably are going to be hit more and have been hit more than anyone, the accountant, mm-hmm. the finance, all that, more so than any other industry, because what happens? It costs money. It costs us money. We have to move. We have to change. And she's like, oh, yeah, because I didn't even think about that. She had her session. Everyone was anywhere from 30 minutes to maybe 45 minutes. Hers was 90 minutes.
Wow.
She couldn't. She was apologizing. You know, she was like, I'm so sorry. She said, she couldn't find a way to break it down and make it. I said, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted. I wanted everyone to stretch themselves to understand the climate is all around you. It is through you. It is about you, everything. And then when we begin to see those types of things and begin to understand what climate really is, it's not just simply I wake up in the morning, sun's shining, or maybe it might rain today or a little snow or, you know, what have you. No, the climate is in the food you eat. The climate is in your attitude. All of these are vibrations that actually go out into the world. All of this affects the climate that you live in, how we live, our cities, how we build our cities, how we actually build our rural areas, how we treat our forests, or if we take deforestation and we take our forests down, when we build cities that are literally concrete jungles. All these things like this affect the climate, and as you did mention earlier, it affects the climate of your mind, your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That affects it. That's affecting the climate as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, because I know you can get real deep, and that's what I'm trying to get to, because I don't think people understand, because I'll be the first one to admit, I was honored to speak on the panel, be chosen on the panel, and then I'm thinking, okay, I do a lot of motivational speaker. I do empowerment speaking about, you know, empowering lives, and how does that relate to climate change? And I was stuck for a while until I went on YouTube and I just started looking at it like, oh my goodness, it affects in so many ways. It affects, like you mentioned, agriculturally, you know, even as women, you know. Now I'm going to kind of tangent. I'm going to have to bring it back. But it just affects across the board, because it affects our livelihood, and anything that affects our livelihood is going to affect our economy. Anything that affects our economy, I see why that young lady had more than 30, 45 minutes, because everything is going to wrap around the money. You know, look at society today with the COVID that's going on. And then next thing you know, you got this strand, you got that strand, you got the – all of that is part of climate change. And as you mentioned, the climate in your mind, when we start thinking about, think about it. You know, when you look at climate change and things that's going on right now, what time frame does it remind you of? If you are in your word, then you already know where I'm going with that. You know, it looks about the signs of the times. When we talk about, we read about this stuff, if you read your Bibles and stuff, where how it affects, it's so many things. And we was having a conversation and really got me sparked. And we talked about the fact that we always talk about the end times, because, you know, with all the climate change, I don't know about anybody else, but I remember I didn't grow up with AC. I didn't grow up with AC, but we got through it. But someone brought to my attention, Tina, the hot that we had back in our day, different than the hot that we have now. And I thought about that, and I said, you know what, that is true. The summers that we had back in, you know, in my younger years is different than the summers we have now. And it seems like it's getting hotter and hotter. So, you know, I always say, well, listen, I'm going to have to live right, because I'm not trying to go to hell. You know, I'm just going to be real. But then I started thinking, you know, what are we going to do? And the conversation that I enjoyed having with you is we talked about, people are always talking about, you know, with everything that's going on, we need to be prepared for the end. But you said something that was very phenomenal. What about the, you know, the here and now? Today is our tomorrow's future. And I would like for you to kind of chime in on that one right there.
Yes, and it is. It is. Today is tomorrow. Because if you think about it, yesterday, when you told someone you were going to do something or you made a plan, or, you know, just as you called me a few weeks back and you said, hey, would you like to be on my show? And so and we set a date. we set a date for tomorrow, a time in the future. And now that day is today. So today is your future. And if we're asking ourselves, what do we do, how do we do it, it's more, what's more important is when do we do it? We do it now. See, what we're thinking, we're always thinking in terms of, okay, I will do that later. I'll do that at another time, or I have time to do that. The time is now that you need to do to make those changes that you need to change. But one of the things that we did talk about, you and I, we were discussing this subject, and I was sharing with you, and I'll share with your audience, and that is this. No matter what we do, we can do things to make it easier for us to go through this change. We can do things that prepares us for the change, but we cannot stop the change. The climate, no. The world, just as we cannot stop the world, you know, you can get so upset and say, hey, stop, I want the world to stop so I can get off. Well, it doesn't happen like that. The earth is going to keep moving. We do a 24-hour rotation. On one side it's dark, and then at night, and then it turns to the other side, is daytime. The same thing going from the North Pole to the South Pole. The poles change. That's why you see the massive climate change. That's why the different plates, the tectonic movements, the earthquakes that happen, the shifts in the ocean waters, all these things, it turns very, very minutely. You don't really see it unless you're, you know, right there where it kind of begins to really, you know, make that edge and it's making that turn, and then you feel it. You know, it's kind of like a car. If you're in a car, you don't really feel the bend of the turn until you're in the center of that curve. Then you feel, then that's when your body shifts to the side and the car continues to make the turn, and then it lights itself. Well, that's the same thing when the world is turning on its axis, and it has to. You think of a gyroscope. You think of our bodies. Everything has to continue to move. If it didn't, we'd just spin off into space. We would not be able to be on this planet. Gravitation would have no control whatsoever on us. And so, therefore, when you begin to understand the science behind it, then it's like, aha, it makes sense. So what we do is we prepare for that. And if you're going to go back and have your audience go back and look into from a biblical perspective, look at the things that what was Joseph doing when the Pharaoh had the dream, and he saw the calf, that the cows that were real big, and then the cows got real small, and then the big ones ate up the small cows. And what was this about? And all the different things. And when he interpreted the dream, what did he tell us? Famine. He said, famine is coming, and this is what you
That's
do.
That's true.
You take and you put in your storehouses, you store up grain, and you store up water. And you store up, you know, all the necessary things that you would need in seeds. The same thing we told people do today. The same thing. We eat the same thing. We drink the same water. We plant the same seeds today. Mm-hmm. And this is what you do to prepare. What are we going to do? We're going to stop this from coming. No, there's nothing you can do. You're getting a sign to tell you it's coming and it's going to happen. And so, therefore, what do you do in order to prepare yourself for that? There are some things that we can do also to prepare your mind for that change, for that coming change. Because many times we see evidence of many civilizations that have lived around the world. And with these civilizations, what we see is that they have come and gone. And sometimes what you'll see with them, you're like, wow, these civilizations had big, beautiful civilizations. Many of them had technologies that we still haven't even figured out. We haven't figured out how to build a pyramid yet. And many other things, you know, that were out there that they had, and we haven't figured out how to build that. But why is it that those civilizations left so quickly? Were they prepared? That time, that era, or that way of life was going to happen, and what they didn't do was they did not prepare, or they weren't well prepared. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were ill prepared. They weren't prepared as much, or they may have gotten prepared and took a ship and flew out of here, for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But the fact is the preparation. The time was going to change. The dinosaurs could not stop the changing of the climate. Ice Age, you couldn't stop the changing of Ice Age. Ice Age came. Ice Age went. You can't stop that. That's going to happen. That's why when we go from the north to the south pole, we can see animals, plants, all those types of things are in one area that are in the South Pole, that we say, well, this is a cold climate island. It should be in the North Pole, and vice versa. We see penguins in the South Pole. Well, how is that? And penguins in the North Pole? It's like, wait a minute. How did that happen? Well, I guess maybe some, you know, stays on didn't move when the Earth moved. They stayed there. And then they got used to it. They did what? They adapted.
Yes.
We are an adaptable species. We are a very adaptable species. And when fear comes in and people want to look at this as, oh, my God, you know, the time has come, it's going to end, you know, everything's going to, I guess, blow up and go away and I won't be here anymore. When you let fear grip you, then you basically have just lost your faith. Anytime fear grips you, you have lost your faith. Because God says, world without end. If you believe that, you say, I'm a believer, then the world is not going to end. Now, as far as your lifetime, well, you know, I'm not going to live. I do not expect it as old as Methuselah. That's not going to be a good look for me. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get 900 years. But, you know, give me 120. I think I can deal with that. I'll look okay. That's
right.
About 150. It's looking too good.
That's a plus. He gives us
80.
Anything after that is a blessing. It's a plus.
It's a plus. So the fact of the matter is, with all of that, you learn how to live, and you learn how to do things and how to do things differently. Just as when we did have COVID, what did we learn how to do? We learned very quickly what we could do. All the things we thought we could not do, major corporations, they fought against. We tried to do telecommuting long years before COVID was even a thought. We tried to do that back in the early days. Oh, my God. These corporations went crazy. Oh, no, there's no way you can do that. How can we govern it? How can we supervise? How can we manage? How can we do our workflow? Well, when COVID hit, everybody was doing workflow, we was managing, we had meetings, we was doing everything we need to do. And what many companies found, they didn't even come back online. Why? They didn't even open their offices back up. You go through all the major cities now, you have high-rise buildings sitting there. Nobody in those buildings, just sitting. Because why? Those people found out, those corporations found out, oh, we can do this a lot better if they work from home. We got a lot more
work done.
And we got it done
faster
time. And so, therefore, now, so what happens? Adaptable. We are an adaptable species. We will adapt to the climate. We will adapt to the change. That's why when you look at all the different animals, you look at the insects, you look at the birds, all of these, every creature, even man himself, has adapted and he has changed with his environment. As the environment has changed, he goes into, so has he. The height that man grows to, the size of the body, the amount of fat that's in the body, the amount of bone that's in the body, the structure, everything has changed since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the same as we were in our beginnings, and nor are we the same as we will be in years to come.
Mm-hmm. Very much. You said some very, very important things I wanted to point out. One of them is adapt. Change is inevitable, and if you don't change, you won't grow. And I find I run across people who just do not want to grow. You know, it's one of those, well, I've been doing this for so, I'm so old school, I can't get this done, or I don't want to do it that way. And I said, listen, change is going to come whether you want to adapt to it or not. It's totally up to you. Your frustrations that you get is totally on how you receive adapting, because it's going to happen. We got, you're right, Trustee, we have to prepare ourselves. And if you know, success comes when opportunity meets preparation. Opportunity meets preparation, and that is success. And we have to prepare our minds. And you said it best, Ms. Yvonne, you said COVID. COVID came, well, actually it's been here for a while, but it started coming out really in the past 3 years. And we were all like, what is this? And I'll be the first one to say, at first I was like, okay, it's like one of those simple things, you know, we're gonna go through it and that's it. But no, it has not. It has changed the face of the world. And we're not going backwards. We're only moving forward. I mean, working from home was one of those things where I always said, I don't think I could work well from home. But now I can't see me 3 years after the fact, I can't even see me going to office now because of COVID. And it goes back to change is going to happen whether you want it or not.
Either
you
want to
adapt or you're going to fail. That's it. You're going to adapt or fall back, because it's going to continue to happen. And you're right. That does go, you know, in your mind, climately. Because before I even go there, let me stop for a second. This is Fatina Kirkendall. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. It is my privilege and my honor to have Ms. Yvonne Gamble on the line. And we're talking about climate change. We're talking about the effects of climate change and how it affects us in every part of our life. Mentally, spiritually, financially, economically, in all ways. We got to this point now where we're talking about, she gave the definition of how it started from back in the dinosaur days and now. You know, we talked about being prepared for the change that's coming, and it is coming, and we've already seen it from when COVID hit, how we had to do a massive change, and now moving forward, how it's going to continue to affect us. But before I do want to give patrons to my sponsor, Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services, located at 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060. This is by this awesome, awesome young man, Mr. Henry J. Middleton. He can be reached at 678-567-7512. I had the opportunity of going out to their open house a few weeks ago, a phenomenal, phenomenal. One thing we know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, but we all going to die one day, and that's the truth. And his services, he also the mortuary and the cremation services, but his service with compassion and a smile. And I just know this young man from years and years ago. And to see his dream come to fruition, I'm so happy for him. I'm actually inspired by him. He's a younger man. But with that being said, I know that they're going to have a back-to-school event on July 27th. I will give you details about that before the series ends or before next weekend. But, yes. So if you need services, he is definitely the person you want to speak to. He's at 678-567-7512 at 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia. So now, and we're back to my special guest tonight, Ms. Yvonne Gamble. And we were just talking about how climate change affects us, you know, in every aspect. And the truth of the matter is, going back into this, she mentioned something about fear. And if that is true, if you have fear, you have already lost the battle. If you can let that fear consume you, you have already lost the battle. And even wanting to prepare yourself for change, the prevention of, okay, let me see how I want to say that, because I just know, I'm just going to be direct. I don't know any other way to be. you know, we have to prepare ourselves. And fear will keep you in a holding cell, and life is still going on, and you're still wondering what's going on. And it's not, you know, you won't prosper. You are definitely doing well if you allow fear to get the best of you. And with the climate changes going on, with all these changes that's going on, we have to prepare ourselves. And sometimes you have to get uncomfortable, because when you get too comfortable in things, just know nothing good is going to come out of that, because it's all about growth. It's all about elevation. So I'm going to let you take it from there, Ms. Yvonne.
Well, great. That's excellent. And thank you for that. And it's very good to be back here with you. And I just wanted to kind of take the conversation, you know, to that next level and just kind of give you some facts, give the audience some facts and figures so that they are, not so much as so that you're educated. Because in all of this, you know, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Wisdom is the best thing that you can have over anything else. Wisdom is the highest. It takes about approximately 7,000 years for the poles to reverse polarity. And the last time that our poles actually shifted, where we had magnetic north, magnetic south, and they were flipped, where the world was flipped around, we estimate that to be, you know, somewhere about 80,000 years ago. So it's quite a bit of time. But also understand that this shifting occurs at about 15 kilometers a year, which is roughly in U.S. terms about 9 miles a year, where it begins, where it's shifting. And so that's why you're seeing that, and when it gets closer to where it's hitting up towards the equator, you see a lot more types of changes as far as in the earth, the way things move and the way things go around. This is the reason why now it's all of a sudden it just looks like everything is, and it is, it's heating up. The whole United States, most of the times every day in the summer, we're looking now and we're seeing the weather map is all red, or it's red is up much higher than where it was before. Temperatures are running, you know, are hanging around in the 90-degree range at, you know, further north than they ever have for a longer period of time, and they started earlier. They started, you know, the end of May, very beginning of June. We're already hitting into the 90s, and some, so we can imagine some of those areas will be hitting up into the 100s. That, you know, used to hang around about the 80s or what have you. And this is not just in the States. That's obviously all around the world. Preparation for these types of things, what we really have to do is we have to be even more mindful of ourselves, of our bodies. We have to be more mindful and more careful as far as, you know, as with our prayer and our meditation, and in how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. That's, now, somebody might be saying, well, what does that have to do with climate change? How is that going to affect it? It's not so much how what you're going to do is going to change the climate or affect climate change, but it is about how the changing climate is affecting you. That's what we really have to begin to look at. How is this affecting me in, you know, with this change in climate? How is my attitude being affected by how cold it is or how hot it is, or the fact that it's, you know, it's up and down? I don't know which way it's going to be. You really have to pay very, very careful attention to that, because that's going to directly convey how you're going to treat others, yourself, and how you're going to treat others in your business, in your home, in relationships, in building relationships. And many of us, we work across the miles. We're working out of our homes now. We're working in situations that are, could be considered silos, where a lot of your work is done by yourself, or maybe with you and maybe one or two other people who communicate, you know, on a regular basis. you do, as warm as it is, find you a cool time early in the morning, late in the evening. Go outside, get fresh air, get sunshine. That's right. It might be hot. Put a hat on, but let the sun shine on you. Get some vitamins on you, because remember, when you were going to work every day, you were getting outside, you were traveling via car or bus or train or what have you, but you were going outside in the open air. And now a lot of your time is spent inside, and you're trying to negotiate heavy contracts. You're trying to do business. You're trying to market yourself. You're trying to put on the best public face and all these different things you're trying to do, and you're doing that literally sitting in a chair 8 to 10 hours mm-hmm. a day. Okay? That's going to affect your attitude, and that attitude affects your altitude. So there, those types of things, those simple types of things that you can do, that you need to be doing, are going to make a difference in how well you're going to be making the adjustments. And then you have to also take into consideration the children. Children are watching the adults. Younger people are watching the older people. Everybody's looking at somebody else to see how they're reacting, how they're responding, and what are they doing. And from there, we then get our directions or correction as to what we should be doing. And they will take that, children, the younger people will take that as this is the way we're supposed to do it. And it may or may mm-hmm. not be. So make sure that whatever you're doing, that you're always cognizant that somebody's watching. Somebody's watching, somebody's listening, somebody's, taking that up and trying to follow your lead. Whether you know it or not, realize it or not, you have to think in those terms.
You said a mouthful on that, and yes, I found that out on many years ago working in nonprofit. When my name is different anyway, Kuchina Kirkinoff, and when they hear the name, and like I know you, and I'm like, oh. You do? You want to, okay, what was I doing at that? They say you know me. But they pay attention because at that time I was a big advocate for the food bank and stuff. And even now doing Chronicles, I didn't realize you never know people. And you think people are not paying attention to you, they are paying attention to you, especially our children. You know, I had the pleasure of having my son on the show last weekend. And we talked about parents, the relationship between a parent and children, and, you know, tips that, you know, that we could use when communicating with our kids. But it just goes back. If they're watching us, and our mindset, our habits, everything that we do, and, you have to protect that mind. That mindset is very, very important because it not only affects you, it affects everyone else around you. You mentioned something about treating how you treat other people, and it took the first thing I thought was the golden rule of life. What is the golden rule? You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. And that goes from your spirit mind, it goes to your physical, it goes to your emotional, it goes to your mental. And your body is something else that you said, because that's very true, because the body is our temple. We're nothing but souls, and when the soul leaves the body, that's it. But while the soul is here, how are you taking care of your temple is what I started thinking as you were talking. And it's so prevalent because all of that affects climate change, you know, getting sick. You know, well, let me go back even further. The things that we eat, things that we don't eat, things you should, you know, I agree going outside because that's where you're getting your vitamin K, not realizing it. And some of us, you know, working from home for 3 years, we just got used to it. I find myself having to make myself go outside to do this. But going back to my son and how, you know, you got to take care of your body. When I'm in the house all day, I have to literally go out and stretch my leg because I used to work out a lot. I don't work out as much as I used to. But when I think about everything that's going on and the way people are leaving this earth left and right, how are you taking care of yourself? How are you taking, you can't move forward if you're not taking care of yourself, period. And climate change has a lot to do with it. The way we eat, the way we live, the way we process, the way we govern ourselves. I hope I'm on the right track with you, Lana. But
Yes, you are. Yes, you're absolutely on the right track, because it's going to make a lot of difference. One of the things that take note of how the food industry is changing. If you have, didn't really understand it, we have been probably since the 70s moving to a more vegetarian mindset mm-hmm. of eating. That's where the food industry mm-hmm. has pretty much has shifted everyone to, without them even realizing it. In the early 70s, you know, it was everybody wanted to be a vegetarian for a healthy life, you know, that sort of thing. And now we've gone even, we've supersized that to vegan. And mm-hmm. look at what they're doing as far as with the different, the meats, Beyond Beef. Now Burger King has just come out with Beyond Chicken. So pretty soon we'll have chicken. Yes, we'll have chicken no more and beef no more. You know, so we're going into these types of things. But you have to be very careful with that, because that's a synthetic. So what you want to go to is, those are synthetics.
Okay, gotcha.
It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Right.
If it's Beyond Beef, what is it? Beyond Chicken, what is it? That's a synthetic. So therefore, you have to be very. So what's happened is many people are smart enough to know, I'm not going to eat that, because this is something that is made in a factory. It's processed. It's chemical. It's made up in a lab, and that's how it's derived. It may look like mm-hmm. meat, or it may look like chicken, but it's not. So if you're going to eat beef, or if you're going to eat chicken, eat beef or eat chicken, or if you can't eat either one, don't eat either one. Then what do?
Exactly.
You have a more vegetarian, you eat a more vegetarian diet. And when you think about it, as far as the health of people, as the climate changes, what stays? What always stays, no matter what, one climate to the next, what always stays and outlasts everything? No matter what happens, plants are the one thing that always stay. And we can even grow plants in very low gravity situations. We do that on the space station, on the International Space Station. We grow plants hydroponically. We have buildings where you will grow them just in water, and they'll come out, you know, just as well as a plant grown in the ground. So we have seed banks all over the world in many countries, you know, Switzerland, many of your Nordic countries, your colder climate countries. We have the seed banks that are in there, where they house billions of seeds of everything that is on this planet, so that in the event of, you know, anything catastrophic that might keep us, you know, from being above ground for years, or we have no idea what we may have, we are going to be able to reproduce and have food to eat. These are the reasons. See, people are not even looking at why. They're not even asking the questions. See, many times things happen and we get off kilter, or we seem to get off base, or it gets a little bit rocky in the mind. That's because what you're doing is you're not asking the right questions. You're not looking at what is really happening, or saying, well, what is really going on? What is all of this? And what it's doing is it's moving us. It is truly moving us into that place where the paradigm shift has already taken place. Paradigm shift is not going to take place 100 years from now, 1,000. The paradigm shift began right after World War II, the paradigm shift in how we live, in what we drink, in what we eat, all these different types of things. The shift began. And all you're seeing are those different things that happen, you know, as you shift. Just, you know, if you start exercising or you start, you know, eating better, your body starts to feel better, what have you, or if you start to not exercise or to, you know, eat bad food, your body feels a certain way. That's a shift.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that you're seeing right now. There is a shift, and we have to make that change because the world, the earth, everything is changing, and what we do is we can't stop it, but we can definitely, you can ride the wave. It's just like if you've ever gone to a beach and saw an ocean wave, or even a lakefront and saw a wave coming. And what you can do is you can prepare yourself. You can't stop that wave from coming. It's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can prepare
uh-huh.
yourself, you know, for it, or you see how a surfer does. What does a surfer do? A surfer rides up the crest of the wave and rides the wave until it dissipates. He does not try to go against it. Don't try to go through it. Don't try to go around it. He rides the wave.
It's very interesting. Very, very interesting point. And you mentioned, I want to go back to, you know, the question that was asked on Facebook is, how do we prepare ourselves with all that is going on? How do we prepare?
There's a lot of preparation. Yeah, there's a lot of preparation. There's no one way. That's the one thing. Everybody, I want everybody within the sound of my voice to get off that one-way track, thinking that somebody is going to come out with a magic pill, one thing I have to do, and that's it. I'll be ready for the change. No, you have to change your entire life. That's what's going to have to change. You're going to change how you think, how you eat, and how you feel, and how you act, and what you do. Take the five fingers out. I got to change how I think, how I act,
uh-huh.
and what I do. Those
so
are the five.
I got think, act, eat.
Think, act, mm-hmm. eat, feel,
yeah.
and do.
And do. That's an acronym.
I've got those are the
yeah.
five things that I have to do, and that encompasses your entire life, how I think, how I act, what I eat, how I feel, and what I do.
And
that means
mm-hmm.
those things have to change in every aspect of your life. So you have these five things. They have to change in your work, in your work life, your business life, if you have a business, your relationship, if you're in a relationship or you relate to anybody. I don't care if you just relate to the postman knocking at the door, give me your mail. You got to change that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You got to change how you act. You got to change what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I have of your work, your business, your relationships, everything that you do, your friendships, you know, everything. All those things have to change. Change. All things most likely too, and that is change.
Mm-hmm.
You accomplish
and
that.
And it's not a one-time either, is it?
It does not what now?
It's not a one-time change.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It's not, you know, okay, this week I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my change challenge for 10 days. No, that don't work. Unless, you know what I mean? Well, unless you think I'm going to do this for 10 days, then I'm gone. I'm out of here. You know, then that's all you got to do is change for 10 days because you're getting ready to expire anyway. That's the only
exactly.
way you can put a turn. So unless you unless you're ready to put a timetable on how long you're going to be here, then I got to change the rest of my life. I got to change how I am, and because you have to be malleable, where you can adapt and you can change to the changing environment around. Because once you begin to change just how you look at things and what you think about things and how you look at people and how you think about people, take a walk. Take a walk in the park. Look at people differently. Smile. Even if they're not smiling, they're smiling or whatever, they don't have to smile back at you. You smile at them.
Exactly.
That'll change your whole perspective. The thing about it is this. They may not smile at you right then, but you know what? They'll remember when they're walking or something like that. I was out there the other, and they'll be telling that story. I was out the other day, and this person I saw, they just smiled at me. And wow, that made me feel good. They just don't know. I wonder who that person was that I could say thank you. How many times have you heard that story? How many times have you heard someone say that? I was in a bad mood, and that person smiled at me that day. They just don't know what they did for me.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing. And I tell people, I tell my son this a lot, if they don't speak back to you, it's okay. It's because God don't judge you about what you do and how you react to what has been done. So if you smile and they'll smile back, hey, God bless them. Keep it moving, you know.
In what you're saying, to your son, you are correct in that. Let's smooth that all the way out. When you get there and God is asking you, what did you do? Or he's looking in your book. He's not asking you, what did they do? He's asking you, what did you do?
Exactly.
And that's all that matters. It doesn't give, and
exactly.
I'm sorry, that's going to be the one time, no excuses. So it might be a good time to start practicing now. You know, I tell people, I say, now, you don't really want to change, you know, my children or what have you, colleagues, I say, fine, you don't have to change. Just practice. Because, you know, when you get there, you won't be able to give any excuses for why you didn't change.
Exactly. Exactly. I have a question that was posted on, say, on the live, and it says, is there a plan for our survival?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just gave it to you. I just gave you a part of the plan. When I said to you, I just shared you with you some nuggets that's only a part of the plan. But one of the big plans that we've been doing now probably about 400 years, and that is storing up the seeds. And they're stored in the in mountain caverns throughout the world, but storing up these seeds so that we can have, so everything that is here, we can literally replace it, whether it's here on this earth or whether it's place else. Yes. Because what happens is this. You can see, you can look all around. You can sit here and bury your head in the sand if you want to, but even if you do bury your head in the sand, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find another pyramid. It's going to be down there in that sand while you're digging that bowl trying to get down in there. You're going to see the remnants of societies that have gone before you. And so, therefore, when you see that, that tells you right there. That it's like, okay, that's the writing on the wall. Do I have to really throw a brick and knock you upside your head for you to see that somebody didn't do something and they all were extinguished, or they did something and they were all extinguished.
Exactly.
So therefore, you know, that's, it's like, how many ways to Sunday do I have to tell you the same thing, or do I have to show it to you?
Right. And having your head having your head in the sand, I mean, you lose out. Yeah, you may see you lose out on a lot, but when your head is out of the sand, you're going to realize that things, a whole lot of things change with you accepting or not accepting the reality that we're dealing with. And then you find yourself struggling trying to catch up or trying to stay in the race or, you know, in the current race when you should have just kept your hand ahead of the sand and embraced it. So going back to that question, going back to that question that it was Dylan that put it on there about, you know, the plan for survival. So you missed the point that she gave, and if you didn't, I'm going to reiterate what she said, survival. Think you have to, in our relationship, work, personal, professional, these are the five nuggets that she offered, and she indicated think, act, eat, feel, and do. And it's always changing, so you have to be able to adapt. And it's really all about adaptability, adapting for the change that's coming. And each change is always going to be different, so you got to be prepared. Now, on a spiritual level, there's a foundation that we have, and that usually that doesn't fail. That's the one thing that we know is constant. We know the word is constant. That ain't changing. It is what it is, and we know that. If we look at it now, everything that we're going through right now has already been done. It's already been lived. But we know that is the one constant. At least for I know for me, the word is constant for me. So I can always go back, you know, as my blueprint. But as far as life and everything that we do and our behaviors and the things that we have in our control, awesome acronym: think, act, eat, feel, do, and be prepared to change it up. I knew this 60 minutes was going to go by fast. And it has. But before we go, is there any nuggets of wisdom that you could provide to the listening audience that you can leave them with?
Yes, there's two things that I would love to give you to your audience, and that is this. I would remind them of Solomon and what Solomon asked God for. When he was asked, you know, what would he want? And God said, I can give you, you know, the riches of the world. I can, you know, bring kings to your, to kneel, you know, at your feet, what you want. And he went to bed and he slept on it. And he woke up the next day and had his conversation with God, and he said, God, I want you to give me wisdom. God questioned. Listen carefully. God questioned Solomon. You want me to give you wisdom? Why wisdom? And the reason he questioned him, because he wanted to make sure that Solomon understood what he was asking for and what he was giving up. Now, many of us, we hold on to all the riches. We look and we see all the finery that other people have and that maybe we even ourselves have. And we see all these things and we glorify ourselves and we bask ourselves in these different types of things. And we reach further and higher and harder and we scratch and we bite to get all these riches of the world. We want all men and all women to bow at us, to fawn all over us, and to just be excited and happy that we showed up in the world. Solomon didn't want that. And God wanted to understand, well, why not? You're human, and most humans, that's what humans want. That's what humans desire. Up to that point, that's what humans were. They were turning their backs on God, looking for riches, looking for a better way, looking for an easier way in life. So why did he not want that? What did he want wisdom for? And Solomon said it very, very plain and very concise. He says, if I have wisdom, all these things will be added unto me. He said, when you got wisdom, everything is yours. Get your wisdom in order. Know, learn, teach, talk, discuss everything that you can. Thirst for knowledge, hunger for knowledge, scratch for knowledge, go after knowledge. Wisdom, that's going to be the one thing where you can do everything with. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. You're asking, how are we going to survive? How are we going to think without wisdom? How are you going to act without wisdom? How are you going to eat without wisdom? How are you going to feel without wisdom? And how are you going to do anything without wisdom? So you want your word? Your word is wisdom.
And there you have it. Gosh, we're going to have to come back. This is a part two for sure, because this is deep, and people don't realize how deep this really, really is. But I want to thank you for taking time out to speak to Chronicles audience. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to even, one, for taking a chance on me, on bringing me on your platform. And I'm so excited for what the future holds. But I want to welcome, I thank you again for just tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of having Miss Yvonne Gamble on the line. Phenomenal woman in all aspects of life and the knowledge. I knew this was going to be an awesome show because she is so knowledgeable and passionate and compassionate about what she does. And if they were trying to, if they need to reach out to you or want to reach out to you, Ms. Yvonne, how would they do that?
The best way is just to reach out to Yvonne Gamble on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you have it. On LinkedIn, you can get to her as Yvonne Gamble, and I'm going to put that in the message box. And with that being said, I want to thank you again. Thank you all for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I will see you again next Sunday. And just to let you know, next month is we're celebrating our 3-year anniversary on the air. And I could not be here without your support and also the support of all of my guests who have just graciously agreed to come on the show. Next month, we're going to do a whole anniversary month. We're going to celebrate a whole anniversary with nothing but panels from past and previous guests. So with that being said, be on the lookout. But we'll be back again next Sunday. Well, I have Miss Jill Raleigh, and she's actually from Montana. I'm so excited about her story that she wants to share. Miss Yvonne, I love you to life, and I thank you for taking time out. I want you all to know that I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.